Welcome on into One Nation, everybody. Annie Petrillo, Jordan Wilson. I said
hello.
That was very formal, my introduction. Normally it's Wills and Trills, very chill, very
like
laid
it.
Back. But I feel like this week is special.
It is a special week.
It is a special week because it's leading into the CPL Championship Weekend. I got to work on my song. That was horrible.
Was that Robot?
I don't know what that was. That was my Peter
Whenever
Crouch.
Whenever you dance, that was crouchy. That had crouchy written all over it.
It was very crouchy. I was trying to do something there.
If you don't know, look up Peter Crouch.
They
watch
know.
The videos.
You know it. You know it. But yeah, I'm really excited because we're heading into this Championship Weekend, which is really all going to begin on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But the CPL Awards, we're going to be broadcasting that on One Soccer. I will be hosting the awards. You guys will be on the panel. I'm doing it up.
I hope you do.
I'm doing a gown. I am showing this award ceremony the respect it deserves. You have to dress up. It is an award ceremony.
I have a couple questions.
You better keep up, you guys.
I told Wheels on Saturday, I said I'm going to wear a tie. Because all year I'm wearing a blazer, open collar, showing a little chest hair, whatever, Rico Suave. But I'm gonna make sure I have the tie on. Yeah.
Bow tie. Ascot.
No ascot. No. Not,
okay,
yeah,
sorry.
No. Bow tie, I'm like, no.
Pocket,
it's okay.
Pocket square?
Yeah, always. Yeah. You got to clean up. But I'm going to do that only because when we take a picture, that One Nation picture, I want to make sure that, like, I don't look like a bum and then you're all bedazzled, jeweled out, sapphire, all these rubies, have a train, and then I look like a bum off the street. Nah.
I'm you're like, not gonna my train.
Yeah. Like, I'm literally the guy like this in the picture. That is a great shot, though, for a promo. Like, you just doing Andy Pichot stuff, being an angel, and I just hold the train all stiff.
Yeah.
I like
your face is just peeking out from the side.
It's good stuff.
Anyways, yeah, One Nation brought to you by Tony Bett with Andy Petrillo and Jordan in the back. But anyways, we're really excited because it does start with the award ceremony.
Yes.
Then obviously we get to see training on the Friday and then the big match on Saturday between, it's the rematch of rematches. I tweeted this out. I am so excited. This is going to be between Forge and Cavalry. They've only met once in the final. That was the very first year in 2019. And it was one of those, it was just so crazy because Cavalry dominated. Right? They won. At the time, it was all set up a little bit differently, where they had the summer, and I always forget if it was spring and summer or summer and winter. I always forget how it was broken up.
I think it was
up.
Spring and fall.
Spring
and I think.
Just throwing in fall.
No, I think it was. Like a fall season and then a spring one.
Something like that. Anyways, they won both of them.
Okay.
And it was at the time, it was also a home and away, right? It wasn't a one game winner take all. And Cavalry completely dominated. Cavalry also had made history that year in becoming the first CPL side to defeat an MLS side in Canadian Championship play in a game. Like, it was just all this kind of stuff. It was really incredible. And then Forge was like, hold my beer.
We got you.
Yeah. So they end up winning that one. So we're really excited for this rematch. And by the way, they've also met each other in the Canadian Championship, and Forge has walked away with the victory. So there's a lot of history. There's a lot of drama. And we're very excited.
And bad
blood.
But
here's the other thing that is kind of, you know, bananas to me, is that Cavalry has never won a playoff game.
It's crazy. Saturday when it was set, I was like, wow.
I know.
Because they're such a good team. And they, like, from 2019, even though 2019 feels like a lifetime ago, it really does in some respects.
Yeah.
Like, 5 years ago, I'm just like, wow. But this is a huge contender in the CPL. Like, you don't go past two names without saying Calgary. And this was their first playoff win.
Yeah.
It's
so
weird.
They defeat Pacific 2-1. Pacific gave them a run for their money. I mean, Calgary was up 2-0. But then Pacific gets, you know, a goal pretty late in the game, and you're like, oh no. Like, it was late, but it was still enough time for them to tie it up. But Cavalry, give them credit, they held their composure. But yeah, it is just crazy to think, and this is what I talk about every time I say there are some demons that need to be exorcised in the playoffs for Cavalry. There you go, right? So first time they get that playoff win, and now they're going to be, now this obviously excludes the island games. We're talking about proper, you know,
yes,
regular type of season here going into playoffs. But even though Cavalry finished 13 points ahead of Forge.
Mm-hmm.
The whole history and everything that can get in between the ears. Who are you favoring in this final?
There's a lot to dive into, but I have to say the Cavs. I have to say Cavalry.
Okay.
Just because of you said it, that those 13 points this season, they were just unplayable at times. Look at their record. 16 wins, 7 draws, 5 losses. And they had a lot of those draws in the first, like,
yeah,
the first bit
exactly.
of the season, right? They look like a brand new team from the middle towards the end of the season when they were just going on a run. You couldn't beat them. And then you're looking at Forge, 11 wins, 9 draws, 8 losses. Like, this was a Forge side where people this season, every team that went to play them said, we could win today. Before, it was like, let's park the bus, let's protect what we have. If we get away with a draw, especially when you went to Tim Hortons Field, you're like, if you get a draw, you take it. Mm-hmm. But people are like, no, you could penetrate this team. You could really puncture the tires. You could really get some shots in with Forge. I know you're playing at Tim Hortons Field for Forge, but the Cavs, they've just been that strong. I think they have to be favored.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I don't. To me, flip a coin.
Ah, like, it's even.
It is even because, yes, you can make the argument for both. You just said it. You look at their regular season. You look at even how they're feeling. I mean, Tommy's saying all the right things. The players are saying all the right things, even though they lost that first, like that semifinal playoff game to just go straight to the final, which we know Forge did. They were just like, nah, we'll regroup. And they did it, you know, against Pacific. So they're feeling pretty good about themselves. And yeah. I do wonder, again, if you make the argument that whole rest versus rust, like, has Forge just been off too long? And maybe that extra game that Cavalry played was actually good for them?
It's, okay, so to that, Trills, I was even thinking about it as well. Like, it's 2 weeks a long time. I think normally, as a player, that is, you're like, oh, 2 weeks, you miss a game. But keep in mind, this Forge team, one, are a bit beat up. Passes didn't play in the semifinal mm-hmm. game. But also, they haven't been on this season, which is also crazy. They're in second place. They're still going to be in the final, but they haven't been on. So maybe history is on their side in terms of this is one game that Forge need to go and win. Let's regroup. Let's train for 13 days. Let's lick our wounds. Let's get everyone back for one game. So I think in the broader sense, it's like, yeah, you get 2 weeks off. You're like, this could kill the momentum. But they've had no momentum. They literally have not had any momentum. They still have talent. They still have the pedigree. They're still a dynasty. But throughout the season, even in their camp, they'll say it. Call a spade, they haven't performed the way that they should. So maybe that break is like, hey, let's just have a clean slate.
Yeah.
Let's just get everything together, and we have to play one game and win to be...
And that's why you can't count Forge out, because they've actually done that before. They're like that Jack in the Box where you're like, are they? And then, bam, they come out, and you're like, ah, there they are. There they are. There is Forge. So, that's why I don't know. Flip a coin.
So in the beginning of the season... We talked about hot seats a little bit. Oh. Tommy Wheeldon Jr. was on it, gratefully so. And I think that you sparked it, and you did it perfectly because he felt a bit of heat in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. There's no question that Tommy Wheeldon Jr. has done a remarkable job mm-hmm. in Calgary. He sees everything. If he doesn't see it, he has the people around him to find the little holes and to really build that team. That's a dynasty, and that's moving forward. But this is still a big match for both coaches. Who do you think is under more pressure to get the dub, to lift the North Star Cup?
For me, it's Tommy.
Okay.
Because Bobby has a couple of those already. And I'm not saying that the pressure isn't always on. I mean, there's a reason why Bobby and his team are winners, and there's a reason why we're already talking about Forge being a dynasty is because they don't rest on their laurels. And they're not apathetic. They don't say, oh, you know, ho-hum, won last year, so who really, you know, bleh. You always put the pressure on yourself to show up and be the best that you can be. But I just, again, think that, of course, it's Tommy because he doesn't have that cup. He doesn't have it. And we can sit here, and I know you guys love to talk about the fact that, but he's already got that entrance into CONCACAF Champions
Cup. Which guys? Like, you talking about me?
You. You.
I love how you group me in with them. He's like, you didn't agree with me. I heard you, Jordan.
You didn't. It's on tape. You did not agree with me.
Oh, man. All right.
I am forgetting what the regular season means.
It's done.
I'm forgetting entrance into CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's all gone. It's this final. This is it. This is winner take all.
Like it.
And that has not been the case for Cavalry. It's been the case for Forge. It has not been the case for Cavalry. So, of course, I'm going to say Tommy. Now, of course, Bobby kind of, sort of, not really, kind of, sort of, fully maybe put it out there. But, of course, he would love to coach the Canadian national team. Mm. So, you know, does that mean he's brought more eyeballs onto himself? Because people are like, oh, you want to coach it? Well, let me see what you got. So now they want to see what he's going to do in the final, because to some people maybe who don't pay a lot of attention to the CPL, they might pay attention now because they're national team fans.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they want to see what this guy's all about and, you know, how is he going to get his team out there, tactics, all that kind of stuff. So did he maybe put that other kind of pressure on himself? I don't know.
I totally agree with you. And I also think with Bobby, 2021, they didn't win the Shield. They lost the Pacific, but they still finished first mm-hmm. that season. So they had a winning season. If they don't win on Saturday, This will be the first season in 5 years where they don't have something to show for it, right? Yeah, granted, 2021, you didn't lift anything for winning regular season, but you still know we are the best team. They're untouchable, 2021. So this will be the first. So I also feel like there's a bit of pressure. I'll go 60-40, 60 in favor of Tommy feeling a bit more, right? But there's still pressure on Bobby because you have to know that this fourth side, if Calvary go and win, they're the big dogs. They're big brother now. It's flipped. You could always say before, it's like, yeah, this is Forge season. This is when Forge come and play their best football. This is where they get it all together. Knockout games is where they thrive when something's on the line. But that rhetoric changes if Calvary go and win. Even if they win in Pens, whatever, whoever's the winner
that's
has the stakes. They are the big dog. They're on that mountaintop. And if it's Calvary, even more so because they destroyed the league this season.
Yeah, winner, winner, chicken dinner. That's all we care about. We just want to know who's going to win. That's it. And, you know, win is what you needed to do to also make it into the playoffs. So let's talk about some Canadian teams, most recent ones that just got out of it. That includes MLS side. So Cavalry defeats Pacific. They're out. Montreal, Sea of Montreal, if you watch Decision Day, oh my word. Like it was crazy because they needed the New York Red Bulls to not win. The New York Red Bulls ended up getting a 94th minute goal. So Sea of Montreal out. Toronto FC, we practically knew from the first kick of the ball that it was going to be a bad season. They're out. They've had their worst season. So we're going to have a little game here. Oh, this is harsh, man.
It's tough, man.
Tasteful or disgraceful when we look back on those three teams and their seasons. So CF Montreal, Vancouver, by the way, the only lone Canadian MLS team that's in the playoffs. CF Montreal, their 2023 season, tasteful or disgraceful?
So I have a bone to pick with our handsome producer, Oliver Platt, because I like to be an optimistic guy, you know?
You are.
I like to, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, skipping. I go through life like it's an Annie musical, right? I'm just singing, chirp. Disgraceful. It's disgraceful. Okay, look, see if Montreal, I went straight in there. I'm like, let's not save any more time. Disgraceful. 2021, see if Montreal had 46 points, 12 wins, 10 draws, 12 losses. 2022, granted, this is why it's disgraceful. I know they had a great season last year. 65 points, 20 wins, 5 draws, 9 losses. You want to hear this season? 2023, you got 41 points, 12 wins, 5 draws, and 17 losses. Granted, this team to start the season, imbalanced, not as imbalanced as another team on the East Coast in the MLS that we'll get to in a bit, but still in balance. Didn't have really a striker. They made some changes. They brought people in. Still a team that just didn't have enough going forward, but they might have had a little bit to get to the playoffs towards the end if they just kind of stuck together and dug a bit deeper as a team. But you got to put disgraceful just based on the last season as well. When you had 65 points and then you go to 41 in 2023, that's literally regression. That's literally steps back. So it's disgraceful for me.
And I think a lot of the Montreal fan base will say that should be directed towards the people off the pitch because you lost a lot of good players.
You didn't replace them.
And you didn't replace them. I mean, there are people who worked for the team and then, you know, once worked for the team. They don't work for the team anymore. putting out tweets, basically calling out management, calling out ownership, saying you're not spending money, you're trying to do this on a shoestring budget. What did you think was going to happen? So I think a lot of people will agree and say that part of it, you know, was disgraceful. And because I remember, like, covering this national team, there were so many of these players. Like, I was attributing Montreal to be like what Bayern Munich is to the German national team. That's what Montreal was becoming to the Canadian national team between Alistair Johnson, Ismail Kone, Waterman, Pia, like you name it. And then now these players, you know, they've moved on because that's how good Montreal was as well with these players. But then they just didn't replace them. So yeah, that was, I think it's more off the pitch stuff that you're looking at going, come on, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and also to your point, Trills, when you're looking as well, when we talked about it back in February, March, you're talking about CF Montreal, there needs to be a switch at some point, right? They started a season so much with their logo, so much contention, right?
Yeah.
And at a point, it needs to flip, and they didn't really flip. They kind of just, like, crawled out of the hole a little bit. But it's just crazy when you look at 2022, what type of season they had and the clientele they had within the squad to this season now. It's a bit underwhelming.
Pacific, go back to CPL. Tasteful or disgraceful?
Again, but humbug. I want to say, ooh, tasteful because the last 15 minutes of the semifinal against Calvary, you saw a little gusto and guys playing free. But it's disgraceful. And the reason why I say that, You can't choose any other word. It's either tasteful or disgraceful. It's one or the other. They are disgraceful because 10 weeks, they were the top dogs on the mountain. They were rolling through teams. Mm-hmm. They were winning. People were saying, I was thinking, man, we got to go all the way to the West Coast to cover a final. That's what I was thinking for a lot of the season. I'm like, man, we gotta literally go to the other side and fly out there. By the way, West Coast suits me. It makes my beard nice and, yeah. You know, does it do it with your hair?
Good climate.
Yeah, it's not.
You're lucky you said my hair. If you said, does it do it to your beard? Listen.
I'm like, your beard thrives in.
Listen, I have Italian blood running through these veins. I know at a certain point when I hit a certain age, I'm going to start growing a beard and a mustache. That's typically what happens to Italian women. I'm okay with it. I've accepted it.
Ew.
I just have to get some laser hair removal. But I was like, are you seriously coming at me now with the beard?
I was talking about the flowing
you
hair.
You are so lucky.
The locks, the Rapunzel. I wasn't talking about any type of facial hair. I was just, anyways, we're going to... It has to be because, look, they finished fourth and they were literally here and then just went, meow, just nosedive. They just went straight down. So for me and even the players, they look at themselves. They're like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if there's contention in the group and they didn't really get along or what was going on. But to be that close and then to fall short that like large. Yeah, it's disgraceful.
Yeah, that's too bad.
You're like, oh.
No,
because yeah, I hear you though.
But it's
bad.
It is bad. It is bad. You don't want to see that. And I think I'm on the fence a little bit with Pacific just because of what they ended up doing in those two, even three, you know, you could say three games in the playoffs. Mm. Just simply because, I mean, it's disgraceful that they had to put themselves right into that type of position.
That's not the game.
No, I
is
know
it,
that.
Is it tasteful or disgraceful? Don't you can leave me out. You can leave me out here on an island, but I'm going to say it's disgraceful for both of us, unless you can argue and say that it was tasteful in some way. Was it?
No, but I mean, they were in the fight. They were in the fight up until like a handful of games, right? Wasn't it like two or three games to go in the regular season? They still had the opportunity to finish first, right? But then Cavalry was just too much and they were getting it done and Pacific wasn't. So I wouldn't say Pacific was completely out of it. They were kind of always there. And then, yeah, it's just unfortunate they put themselves in that position in the playoffs. But again, they did beat York. Then they did this cross-country travel, right? And then, you know, they did take care of business against Halifax. Then they did another cross-country travel.
They could have finished
it against Calgary.
They could have finished second, and they still weren't playing well. Disgraceful.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go. Yeah, forget it. I'm going tasteful. I'm going tasteful on Pacific. Just leave me alone.
Okay.
Toronto FC.
Hmm.
Can we say the word together? 3, 2, 1.
Disgraceful.
I think we're done.
Yeah, we can just look at it. 22 points for the season. 4 wins, 10 draws, and 20 losses.
Oh,
and what,
so
never got an away win either?
Hurt so bad.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, sad, because again, this is the Canadian MLS team that has been to multiple finals. This is the Canadian MLS team that has won an MLS Cup. This is a Canadian team that once set a record for most points in a season. Like, what happened?
Fall from grace.
It is a complete fall from grace. And you always knew that when a team makes the massive signing that they did with Lorenzo Insigne, making him the highest paid player in MLS, and even though on paper, obviously, I think it's, why am I blanking on his name? Anyways, from Chicago. Shaqiri, thank you very much. When, you know, even though on paper he'll look like the one that's making the most in MLS salary, it's because of all the sponsorship and everything else, marketing that goes around Lorenzo, that he's around that $15, $16 million.
Crazy.
So you always know, though, that when a team takes that kind of risk, it's either going to be a complete magical ride or an absolute bust. It went the other way for Toronto FC, and it's really sad that that's kind of what's happening. Now we'll see what ends up happening with John Herdman, because I think, you know, this is a coach who's entering the pro game for the very first time. I think a lot, even myself, I've said this, thought it was very strange that he was announced as head coach on August 28th, but didn't take over.
It was strange.
Until like the end of October, even though he was training October 1st. His first game was October 21st.
Very strange.
Everything is just bizarre that's going on with Toronto. It is just bizarre. Disgraceful.
Can we talk about the imbalance quickly of the team? I don't want to, I know the TFC fans, the diehards, but it's hard when you pay big dollars. You said 15 mil, whatever. It's a lot of money for Insigne, who is probably going to, I said he needs to be in double digits, right? For assists and goals on one soccer today. And you're basically paying for a winger, someone to come in and maybe give you assists, give you some life, set pieces, whatever it might be. It's tough to spend that type of cash on him and then Federico as well to come in.
Yeah.
like, the team needs to be a bit more balanced. You need to build down the spine. You're literally talking about two flank players, right? And then your spine is young guys coming in. Every week for TFC, there's a new player signed, a new player popping in, a younger player coming up, a TFC 2, which is nice in some respect. You get to get minutes. But it's like, in terms of building a dynasty or a team to compete, totally off the map. So it's disgraceful. And honestly, not even so much about the players, but about management, how it was run this season. As a fan, it was very disgraceful.
All right. Let's turn our attention now to one player in particular who has rallied a nation. And that, of course, is Christine St. Clair. Expected news, but still sad news of her retirement from the national team. And, you know, this is a player who has done so much for this country. In fact, there are people who've grown up only ever knowing Christine St. Clair in this sport because she was just 16 years old when she, you know, started playing for the senior national team. She's 40 years old now, and we're talking over 20 years of representing this country. And she's going to go out as an Olympic champion. And I'm wondering if you can kind of just sum up how you feel about Christine St. Clair, what you feel that she's also done for this sport for you in particular. By the way, she will play another year of pro, so she will still be playing with the Portland Thorns. They're in the semifinal, by the way, November 5th, they're going to be playing. We'll get into that in just a moment. We'll kind of update you on what the NWSL playoffs look like. But I don't know, what are some of the words you have for Christine St. Clair?
So I mentioned it Saturday with Wheels, Handsome Wheeler, and I said the pioneer. You giggled at Handsome? Like, love you, Wheels. Pioneer, but look, I remember, you know how I like to go down memory lane with footy. I remember U8 football right before All-Star rep back in the 90s. My dad was a coach, and the team wasn't that great. And I remember having to put the team on my back a little bit, play midfield, strike, score some goals, whatever, right? How taxing that was as a little babouche, as a little 8-year-old, to carry a squad, to be the guy to rah-rah the team. That's U8 football. Give me a name other than Christine St. Clair that has done that for literally 3 decades, because she started in 2000. So 2000, she was killing it. 2010s, I thought, was probably obviously her best football because she was at that ripe age of scoring goals. Talk about 2012 as well, the hat trick against the U.S. Then 2020 onward, still producing some quality, right? So that's 3 decades. 23 years, she's going ham, scoring 190 goals. Over 300 appearances. This is someone, like, I talk about the reference I make about U8 football and carrying a team. Carrying a nation, like, from tremendous respect, because you have to show up to camp. This is outside of your full-time gig, your full-time job, where you're playing and you have your own aspirations as a professional. But then you have to come and play for your country. You have to get the ladies together, your team together, your coach together, and really just show and put that blood, sweat, and tears. So for me, she always has, like, I have tremendous respect for her, because it's very difficult to show up and avail yourself emotionally for your country and for your team year in and year out. Some people can do it for 2 years and they get accolades. Some people could do it for a decade and you're like, wow, look how long she's done it. Yeah. So I think for me, that's what sticks out. Outside of the amazing goals that she scored, the way that she always found a way to just, like, half beat someone and shoot, I thought that was very great on the footy side. But for me, it's just how long she's done it. And that is just something nowadays people will look at the last little bit and be like, oh, she's getting older. But, like, look how long she's been coming with that quality. Yeah. And that's just next to none. We won't see another player like her.
And that's why I say there's a generation that's grown up only ever knowing the sport with her in it. And you could talk about her accolades and a lot of people, and I know this will be discussed obviously till the end of the year, because she will play in 4 more games with the national team before it's completely done, which is lovely, because I think all those 4 games are going to be on home soil, so Canadians can give their proper respect and bid farewell.
Give her flowers, yeah.
I will just say this. When I go and speak to young kids in particular, and, you know, just, I love seeing footy through their eyes. Whenever I tell them, because this is what they love, they always want to know who you've interviewed. Who you talked to? You know, you interviewed this person, that person, and their eyes just go really wide when it's a name they know. Whenever they ask, have you interviewed Christine St. Clair? I go, uh-huh. And that's it. They're just, like, in complete awe. That's how I know the impact she's had on the country. You just look at the little kiddies, and when they turn around and say, you know Christine St. Clair?
Why do kids always do the longest you?
You? That's when I'm like, yep, that's what St. Clair means to the country. Because I'm like, yeah, I interviewed her. And suddenly I'm a hero in the room for no reason.
Like,
except
for
the fact that I've just interviewed her.
I know her.
And they're like, ooh, right? It's little kids. They give you the best reaction. Question, do you think the Canadian national team is going to be okay without her?
Tough question, right? Because the Christine Sinclair I was talking about that was scoring a lot of goals and was so dangerous and was that ace card was probably for me like 2010 coming into 2020, I'll even say 2019. It's just a different team now. I think my issue with the Canadian women's national team is still just the identity going forward. We saw a bit when they played Jamaica at BMO in terms of flipping and changing the strategy and changing stuff up. But you still need a lot more bodies. I don't know if anyone will do what Christine Sinclair has done.
No. The answer is no.
That just won't happen.
At least not in our generation.
Yeah, but if we can break these 190 goals into 5-10 different players, that's what we need to do. Yeah. Because getting, I don't even want to say names because I just want them to go out and do their thing, but if it's Nichelle Prince, if it's Jordan Hyman, like
hey,
someone
don't be mentioning names. You just said you
I know, and I wanted to. I was like trying to tease a little bit. But these people, these players that you're like, yeah, come. You're at the tip of the iceberg. You can start scoring. You can start being a big name and a big dog, a big presence. It won't be to Christine Sinclair's level, but you can still match that intensity whenever you come and play for Canada. So to answer your question, they'll miss her.
Oh, 100% they'll miss her, but I also do think that this team's going to be okay. And this is where it's a little tricky, because I've seen this throughout the years with many a great player who's then left their team, be it their national team or even be it their pro team. Sometimes players will defer to an athlete because they are the leader and because they are exceptional, sometimes to their own detriment. And then once that player leaves and is given their proper flowers and given their proper farewell, these other athletes now tend to flourish and blossom themselves. That's not to disrespect the person that came before them, but sometimes when there is an alpha in the room, and then when there is someone with that kind of aura around them, it can be a little intimidating. But then once they're gone, suddenly it's like next player up. And that's okay. Again, like I say this in the most respectful way possible. And I do think we saw that a little bit with those two Jamaica qualifiers for the Olympics, where she didn't play in that first game. She came on as the substitute in the second. You saw how that team rallied. It was almost like they knew. And I think they did know because we've mentioned so many times after that second Jamaica game when Christine Sinclair was crying, they were all rallying around her.
For sure.
I think people kind of sensed something was happening, but I think Bev knows. I think the players, you know. So you want to give the respect that is due to someone, to your point, for two decades who has done incredible things for this country. But I think there is going to be a little bit of a, an emergence, I think, of some of these other players.
You say a lot of gems. This was my favorite one, because I totally agree. When you have a big dog, a presence like that, carrying weight, even sometimes you're playing the ball, you're like, well, you got to play it into Christine. Just because you know what, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then other players, she's outside of that. People have to step up inevitably, be like, well, there's no ace card. There's no big dog. Like, I maybe have to be a big dog. I have to be outside of myself. So I'm going to give a high five to you, because that was top notch stuff. It hurt?
What is wrong with you? Have you been lifting weights?
Absolutely. I did yoga this morning, so I'm balanced.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, to say, most people, when they retire, they're not in shape.
No, the yoga's nice. I hurt your hand, though, for real?
No, please. Anyways,
I was just
trying to make you feel big.
Thank you. Tell me about NWSL.
So this is really exciting. So, of course, Christine Sinclair, you're going to also see her in NWSL playoff action. So the Portland Thorns are taking on Gotham FC, and San Diego Wave is going to be taking on OL Reign. Mm-hmm. Here's what you need to know. Portland, of course, has Christine Sinclair on the team, injured Janine Becky. She won't be playing, but they're part of Portland. San Diego, you got Kaylin Sheridan. And then OL Reign, you have Quinn and Jordan Heidema. So Canadians are in this, with the exception of Gotham. You have out of the four teams remaining, three of them have Canadians on them.
Tree.
So let's see if there's going to be a Canadian who will once again be an NWSL champion.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Do you have anything else to talk about?
There's so much that we could talk about, but the show's done, my friend.
Look.
We have to say goodbye.
Look, I'm so excited for the weekend, though. I'm so excited to, one, see the bedazzle.
Yeah.
But also just crown the CPL champion.
Yeah.
And honestly, to get to know the One Soccer fam a bit better, you know? Have a little time together, play some cards.
Is that what we're doing?
I mean,
do you know how to play Scoba? Briscola?
Whoa. You got Italian so quick. What is that?
CPL Awards on Thursday, CPL Final on Saturday, Cavalry Forge. All the wonderful action is going to be right here on One Soccer. You've been watching One Nation, brought to you by Tony Bett. See you next time.